Yeah, let's move on to our final item, and we're running ahead of schedule, which I'm sure everybody's upset about. So as it relates to the 1%, there's been this issue about, to the extent that there are any funds above the 1% that would be retained in the truck or trust fund, what would the Budget Advisory Committee recommend to the council in terms of an approach in evaluating the use and allocation of those funds? Currently, the statute doesn't speak to anything in terms of what the parameters are, what the uses are. All we've heard in terms of that would be what the Director of Finance has said in terms of it being for allocation by the council on for statewide priorities, for council priorities, for branch priorities that benefit the trial courts. But otherwise, how that is developed, how are the priorities identified? Because they'd be one-time monies. They're not ongoing monies. So what would be the process? I think that Joel and I discussed about, we want to offer, this, open up this question to you. So I'm sure see Judge Marcinaga and then Mike Roddy after that in terms of comments on that.
I just have a clarification, because I understood that the 2% that the ALC was withholding has just been distributed to the courts.
Per statute, yes.
Right. And I think I understood at one point there was some discussion in terms of perhaps delaying that closer to the end of the fiscal year. But, those funds have now been distributed per statute.
Right.
Okay. So now the 2% that's included in the, that has to be considered as part of the court's operating expenses. To the extent that it exceeds your 1%, it's included. That, just clarifying.
It exceeds your 1%?
To the extent you don't spend it before the end of the year, is that
right.
What you're saying?
No, I mean, it's included
in your... Oh, any unspent 2%
it's
money...
It's part of your operating budget
yeah.
now.
Yeah, if you have unspent 2% money that somehow exceeds your 1%.
Right, so it'll be... So we're really talking...
It's part of your revenue now back
right.
to you. And the question is whether, what did you assume in terms of those revenues coming back to you? So if you assume zero, it'd all be coming back to you, 99.9% of it coming back to you. If you assumed 80% of it, then you're just dealing with the 20% that you didn't expect to get back.
But it is included as part of your operating budget
right,
in that
yeah.
calculation. It
yeah,
is.
So it's still part
and on, to that point, we have talked to the Department of Finance about the untimeliness of that 2% return. And while it is in statute in the current fiscal year, it is part of the laundry list of items that we've raised to them in terms of that coming back late in the fiscal year. And given that it's an unknown, how do you as a CEO and a PG, how do you budget for that? What do you assume comes back? Is Sherry?
Have you spoken with them about the fact that the legislature now supports WAFM as a funding methodology based on workload, but that will be phased in over 5 years, so we haven't even the funding methodology. But from that, they are requiring 2% to go into a state pot. So they are even themselves reducing the amount of money we need to do our workload by recognizing that WAFM is based on workload, but they're taking 2% of that to go to a state pot. So if they feel there's a need for the branch to have reserve funding at the AOC level to assist with emergencies, perhaps they should fund that separately and let the courts have their full unfunded WAFM share, because it's it is somewhat inconsistent.
We haven't had that kind of conversation, but that's an issue. Mike, you had a question.
I guess you're assuming in this conversation that they are not going to further reduce the general fund obligation to the branch by any amount over 1%. That in fact, that will be 1% monies left over to somehow reallocate.
I don't think we're not necessarily assuming that the 1% policy doesn't change.
No, I guess what I'm saying is
concerned about a sweep of that excess,
or that they do what they're talking about in statute, which is let's just say there's $10 million left over 1%. that they reduced the state general fund allocation by $10 million. So really, there isn't anything to allocate.
Well, all that would do is make our $70 million problem $60 million, if that's what they
I understand.
Assume, yeah.
But here we are talking about, and I'm just wondering if that's an assumption, that we're going to have that $10 million, and I'm just throwing that number out, that we're going to have that $10 million number mm-hmm. to somehow reallocate. Have right. we confirmed that they're not going to do something to essentially zero it out?
Well, you can never assume what they will or won't do. I mean, you can hope that when the director sits before the council and says that those funds are to be used by the council for branch priorities, that he didn't leave the unspoken, but we're going to take it if you don't. I mean, he didn't say that. I mean, we take him as what he presented as. In theory, it was funds held at the state for the state-level decision-making.
And I think we're better positioned if they were to contemplate that, to be able to say, what? That money was for XYZ. You just took the money away from this so that if we have it identified and how it will be used, I think it's a good offense to prevent yeah. that.
And I don't disagree. I just, okay. It sounded like the assumption was that it's going to be there, and maybe I'm just a little
I think we should plan that. I would recommend we plan that way. We all know they can come and take whatever they're going to take, whenever they're going to take it. But I think it helps when it's earmarked to make that even a little more difficult for
them. Or that we have a process to evaluate it, and then they would pull the rug. Judge Clay?
So, no, because you hit the point, I mean, the nail on the head. In the sense that we've been talking about unfunded benefits that affect all of our courts, I mean, if we have that scenario and we're saying we're really trying to get additional funding because we have these unfunded benefits, why aren't we designating this additional money, if we have it, to go towards paying those benefits? Because it benefits everyone.
Yeah, and I think that's what Judge Earl is talking about, is what is that process to identify those needs, and how do they get communicated to the council for consideration? I mean, Mike's question, I think, would be, I would have greater fear. Not that I say I don't have any, but I have greater fear of that happening if we were still in the midst of the economic downturn in the general fund was still looking
See,
for
I'm just,
every nickel.
I'm just crazy enough to actually think, Zlatko, that they, if there's $10 million over, that they will say only give us 60 instead of 70. I think that's why they're asking the question, what are the expected year-end fund balances over 1% at this point? I think that's going to definitely go into their calculation.
Alternatives could be that they could say, well, you know, you fund benefits or fund technology or fund some other priority of the branch up front, as opposed to waiting for the council to look at those things and take action for it. So, I mean, yeah, I wouldn't put it past them, but again, I would say that the director sat before the council and said this was for the council to allocate for branch needs and not for them to take that. I think we would, if that was their intention, then I think we'd have a reason for some upset. Is this the conversation you wanted to have, Judge?
And when will we know with any sense of finality what if there is money above the 1% that will revert to the trust fund?
We would have our first estimate as we do our July distribution allocation process. And then as courts close their books and they submit the backup, you know, the detailed backup, and we can reconcile all the numbers, then say by August and finally September, we would know definitively what would that amount be. So we wouldn't know an amount that could even be considered for distribution until, say, the October. Is there a council meeting in October? So not until the fall.
It's obviously the amount that's in there will help guide our discussion on how we might utilize it for state purposes.
Well, then let me ask this question. Do you see us that process being on a year-by-year basis, or do you see coming up with kind of an overall ongoing approach to the types of things the money might be utilized? I mean, giving the council broad discretion to utilize it in whatever that current year's needs are, but you know, would you identify kind of a overarching type programs that would be ongoing? So I'll give an example. If we thought we wanted to use it for incentive money for creative programs or something like that, I'm not throwing that as a recommendation, but as an example, that money would be used for that purpose, especially in these difficult economic times where it's really hard for anybody to be doing anything forward-thinking and creative. It would be a good way to keep the branch moving forward even when times are a little tougher. But you see it more as an annual, each year we would take a look at and make recommendation.
I think that's why we're having this conversation, so that we can have, you know, at some point when we have this sort of discussion, then those are the kinds of ideas that we have. Judge Hicks and David?
I think that's exactly what we need to do, because if you say we're going to allocate this to one of our existing expense categories, then that just gives them the opportunity to say, fine, that's that much less money we have to provide to cover that expense category.
David?
So my thinking is that it's a good question to have. I think that this is going to be a one-year problem, quite frankly. Next year, if that money, if we have limited opportunity to utilize those monies, that money is going to be spent to address very critical needs that the courts have that start on July 1, 2014. So there are two processes in play right now. What do we do with the money? We have no idea how much money, if any, will be there. I don't suspect there's going to be that much. Certainly not enough that other departments within the state can start planning on using that money to offset certain things. So I think it's helpful to have the budget exercise to address the encumbrance issue above 1%. And maybe we can revisit this issue in a month or two to find out, is this something that we should start planning to formulate different approaches to using that money?
Judge Clay?
I just agree with David. I think it's going to be a one-year problem unless the governor and the legislature gets generous going forward. This is really going to be a one-year problem, because everybody's going to learn if there's money left at the end of this year on how to spend that money so you don't have that problem next year. And I think there really are two initiatives that have an impact on our courts all as a group. It is the issue of the salary and benefits and the technology, which we are really behind on. And if we set some policy that whatever we do have left over should go to benefit the whole, I think that sends a good message that we're unified in what we're trying to do. So, I mean, that's just my two cents.
Any other thoughts? Obviously, this will be a rolling discussion.
All right. Can I ask you a related question? Has there been any movement on perhaps modifying that 1%? Because that we say it's a one-year problem. It's really an ongoing problem once we hit the 1%. So what action, if any, has been taken to increase it or to maybe give us one more year to work it out?
You know, we have continued to discuss it. You know, Judge Jarre and his conversations with the Director Cohen has, you know, continued that message. We have Judge Good's document that's been distributed, and that piece of advocacy is out there being presented to folks. So, you know, yesterday when we had we were going over the blueprint with some union folks, and we discussed that's a continuing issue. But then I think they asked the question of priorities and issues like that. But we continued those discussions. It's, you know, it resonates obviously more with the legislature and the LAO than it does with the Department of Finance at this juncture. But that doesn't mean that we don't continue to discuss the issues of payroll and whatnot, you know, as far as managing the implications of the 1%. But then we as staff are also looking at what can we do if that doesn't change to help mitigate the impacts. And so we're having discussions with the controller about earlier distributions in July instead of the 15th, so that your money's there for your first payroll. You know, on the one hand, we're still continuing, but yet we're working to make sure that if that doesn't happen, that we don't get caught short come July 1st, and that money's not there for you to make your payroll. So, you know, we prepare for the worst and still advocate for the branch policy.